Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Relax this Sunday with a little moment to yourself and the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Ellie.
I'm Ellie Kemper, as was implied by the hi, Ellie. And this is Scott Eckert.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Born to Love. This is our podcast where we talk to people about the things that they love. Today we have Nikki Glaser, Ellie. I'm excited about that.
The great Nikki Glaser, the hilarious Nikki Glaser, is on to talk about her love, controversial love. Just kidding. It's not that controversial at all. She loves Dame Taylor Swift.
Such a niche obsession she's got.
She is going after this artsy, folksy...
offbeat recording artist, Taylor
offbeat
Swift.
Offbeat recording artist, yep. We can't wait to talk to her about it.
Ellie, was there something from this week that you loved?
Oh, yeah. But no, I'm not giddy about it. I've been giddy about several of my loves, but this, I'm not giddy. It was just something that reminded me how much I love it. And that thing was a road trip. Scott.
Road trips?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Snacks in the car. Audiobooks blasting on the speakers. Kids screaming in the back.
No,
love a good road trip.
That's where you're wrong. Let me explain to you how this road trip came about, okay? It was unplanned. That's the other thing. I mean, how often do you have an unplanned road trip?
That's only when you're fleeing the law. That's the only time I can imagine.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But this wasn't fleeing the law. This was fleeing a wedding. And so what happened is my dear cousin got married in the great city of Kansas City. Wonderful, wonderful wedding. Beautiful event. My husband, Michael, and I went to the wedding. We left our kids at home with a babysitter. And so we went to this wedding by ourselves. Now, on Sunday, unfortunately, our flight back to New York City was canceled.
Oh,
and
no.
It's a tale people know all too well these days with air travel. You know, I'm not going to get into it. We have our other, you know, FDA. Is that, what's the FAA?
Wait, FAA, yeah. You mean that's the Flight Administration Administration, right?
Yeah, the Flight Administration Administration. That's our other podcast that comes out on Fridays. But so we'll get into it on that. But anyway, our flight back was canceled. So I had a very long phone call with the airline, which I won't name, but to work something out. And what worked out was this. We were going to take a flight from St. Louis the next morning. Here's the thing, though.
No flight from Kansas City to St. Louis that night.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Oh!
That's exactly right. That's
Born
exactly
to ride!
Right.
While you're on the phone, was Michael in the car, like, revving the engine? And it's got, he's like, an engine sticking out of the hood of the car that he rented.
Your description is nearly accurate, completely accurate, except for It was my parents in the front seat.
Wait a minute. So it was a family road trip. It just was with your parents instead of your children.
That's exactly right. My 4-year-old and my 7-year-old were replaced by my, won't say their ages, mom and dad. My dad was at the wheel. My mom was navigating. There isn't much of a navigation. It's just you take one road across Missouri, but she was navigating, and Michael, my husband, and I were just in the back seat, like children.
Was there a moment between Michael and your dad about who was going to drive, or was it just understood? No doubt about it, your dad. Like the idea, the glimmer of an idea that Michael would drive never once occurred to anyone. Or did they talk about it?
Scott, you've met my dad and you've met Michael. What do you think?
Well, they're both reasonable people. I think they're both great. I have tremendous respect for them.
Oh, very sweet answer. Yes, I'll answer what you can't. My dad drove. My dad drove. There was no question who would drive.
Now I need to know what kind of car it was.
Well, it's a very practical car. It's my mom's car. It was a Toyota Camry. Oh, because my parents drove, they live in St. Louis. So they drove from St. Louis to Kansas City. So they had a car.
Oh, so you hitched a ride.
I'm sorry. We hitched a ride. There was no rental involved, unfortunately. It was a tried and true, you know, owned by my mom, Toyota Camry. And Michael and I were in the back seat. I mean, I took my shoes off. Whoa. I had my shoes off.
Did you put your feet up and your mom was like slapping your feet down? That's it's like, exactly no, Ellie, right. Ellie, put them down.
I wouldn't put him down. I do have to say, we made very good time on the trip from Kansas City to St. Louis. We got there quickly. We made only one stop, actually. And on the radio, we were listening to Maggie Haberman's, you know, biography of Donald Trump.
She was on the radio?
No. I'm sorry. What do you call it?
It's an unusual AM radio station that's just broadcasting Maggie Haberman's audiobook.
It wasn't AM. It was FM.
It was the Hot Hits 91. Hits 91. Yeah. We're in chapter 27 of Maggie Haberman's Trump biography.
I thought that radio was going to be a good segue to our guest because she's going to talk about something who sings on the radio.
The two queens of radio, Maggie Haberman and Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift, who is beloved by our fabulous guest today, Nikki Glaser. Nikki Glaser is a stand-up comedian, an actress, and the host of reality TV sensation F-Boy Island. She's currently traveling for her comedy tour, Nikki Glaser, The Good Girl Tour, with stops all across the country. So check it out to see if you're near that stop. And also, she's traveling around the world.
It's an international comedy tour.
International. So that's a big deal. Nikki has had comedy specials on two very prominent streaming platforms, which shall remain nameless, during the actors and writers strike. Not going to say which platforms they're on, but one of those specials was Good Clean Filth, which received a 2022 Critics' Choice Award nomination for Best Comedy Special. She also hosts the Nikki Glaser podcast on the Big Money Players Network. So we're both from St. Louis. I know Nikki. She is a hilarious, lovely human being. She's going to talk about her love of Taylor Swift. She's a bona fide Swiftie, in other words.
I couldn't be more excited. Stick around and listen to our interview with Nikki Glaser.
Guys, we are back with Nikki Glaser. Hi, Nikki.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being on our show. We are huge fans of yours. We are very excited to talk to you. So thank you very much for being here.
That's so nice. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to talk to you guys about what I love.
Listen, we've done this show before. We've talked about, you know, things that people love, and it's great. I have to say that I'm particularly excited to talk about your love because I want to hear everything you have to say about her. Your love, it's been disclosed. We said this in our introduction. Your love is Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tell us everything.
First of all, let me just say that people who identify as Swifties, it's because we don't really have much else to identify as. We're white, we're boring, we don't have much culture. There's not like a lot of history to like attach ourselves to. That's why white girls get tattoos and they like take up, you know, Pilates. Like, they wear shirts with, like, I'm CrossFit, I'm Peloton. Like, I just am searching for something that is, like, makes me feel like I'm a thing. I'm not just boring and, you know, ordinary. And so I identify as a Swiftie, and I think I first became a Swiftie with the album 1989. It was the song Blank Space, and I just remember where I was. I was, like, in my bed listening, and it just, like, dropped that night, and I was like, this just is my thing. Like, I've had a couple moments like this in my life with Dave Matthews Band in high school and then Wilco in college where I'm like, this is my new thing. I'm going to be the Dave Matthews Band girl. I'm going to be the Wilco girl. And I think I'm sticking with this one. I mean, this one has lasted since the 1989 album. So it's like 2014, I think. And, you know, I'm not alone here, right?
Like, no, you're not the only one who loves Taylor Swift's. Not by any stretch.
And it's gotten so much crazier since the pandemic and since the release of the albums Folklore and Evermore, which just solidified her place as like an indie artist. She worked with the guy from The National, which like made guys that were probably like, well, Taylor Swift, they like had to accept her and like acknowledge that she is, I think, the greatest artist to ever live, up there with Paul McCartney. And I fight my dad on this all the time because his Taylor Swift is the Beatles, and so we go head to head about it a lot.
That is what I want to get into, because I don't understand enough about the artistry of what she does, which we'll talk about, to appreciate her as one. I got to be careful here. I don't need the Swift. What is the gang of Swifties called? The Swiftie Army?
No, just they're Swifties, yeah.
The Swifties.
You don't need them coming at you.
Is there like a fanatic sect of Swifties that will come after Ellie if she's too disrespectful?
No, it's just the Swifties. And I've had them after me as well. I have not been protected from my own kind because, I mean, if we want to just get into it.
I do.
During the 1989, when Taylor was doing that, she later came out in her documentary, Miss Americana, that she was struggling with an eating disorder and just feeling like not enough. Also, she's someone who's described herself in the song You're Losing Me. She describes herself as a pathological people pleaser, which I love and relate to so much.
Yeah.
But she really struggles with those things. And in the documentary Miss Americana, she really came forth about what she was struggling with during the 1989 period. So during 1989, she was very thin. And she was hanging out with all these models, and that was like her group of friends.
Right.
It was like a bunch of supermodels. And I felt at the time, I liked her so much, and I was like, I don't think she has room for me in her group of friends. I'm not a statuesque Victoria's Secret angel. And I also was kind of at a point in my journey with my eating disorder. And I think I was going through something at the time and really struggling with being uncomfortable in my body. So anyway, I did a commercial for Orbitz gum, mm-hmm. and they made me like go on a press tour about Orbitz gum. I'm sure you've done something like just as ridiculous in your life where you're like, what am I? I'm promoting a commercial I did? What's going on? So I went to like BuzzFeed and did an interview, and they were like, we hear you're a Swiftie. You want to talk about her? And I was just having a bad day, and I mouthed off and I said, you know, she's too skinny. She's got all these model friends.
Nikki.
You know, I was just having a bad day and I was projecting.
Yeah.
It was me feeling insecure, me feeling jealous that I didn't have control of my body in the way I wanted to because I was struggling with stuff at the same time. So I didn't even think about that interview like for years and years. It was a blip. During the interview, in fact, I had really bad pit stains, and I had called it out prior to this Taylor Swift part of this interview. And I was like, I need to sit like hunched over because my pit stains are so bad. So during the interview, I'm like, all of her model friends, she's too skinny. And I'm like going like this during, so I look insane. And they clipped it for the documentary Miss Americana that came out in 2020.
Nikki, I have seen that documentary, and I got up to go to the bathroom, and I'm wondering if that's when you could be. That I need to go back and rewatch.
It must have been.
That I need to,
because I am lumped in with all these like Fox News people mouthing off about her. Like,
Nikki, that is not fair.
It was crazy. It was part of a montage that was like building up why she went away for a year. Like, she was overexposed. People had too many comments on who she was and what she should look like and her body. And I was part of that cacophony of morons mouthing off about this person
they
don't know
about.
That
is so unfair, and I'm sorry you were caught up in it. Could you have sued them? I don't want to go there, but could you have?
No, I felt accountable. I felt like I deserved it because it was a wake-up call of like, you can't talk about celebrities thinking they're never going to see it. And like, if I heard someone talking about me like that, it would hurt my feelings to have them judgmentally being like, all of our friends are models and she's too skinny. Like, shut up.
Yeah.
But when I first found out about it in January of 2020, a week before it came out, they dropped the trailer. And I was like so excited because I'm like, I can't believe they're doing a documentary about Taylor Swift, my favorite person. So I watch it probably within the first 1,000 people watching it. As soon as the clock struck 12 and it was dropped, I was watching it. And then I heard my own voice
say
she's too skinny, all of her model friends. And it was just my voice.
Oh,
and I was like, I drop my phone. Literally one of those moments where you're like, oh, like you get some bad news and you drop your phone.
Wait, that's surreal.
And it was late at night. So I texted my friends and I was like, this, I'm in this documentary. I don't know what I said. And they're like, that's not you. And I go, yes, it is. And they said, but you would never say this about Taylor Swift. And I was like, yeah, I would. And they're like, but you love her. And I go, I'd say it about you if you got too skinny and you had all model friends. I'm constantly asked about her in interviews, so I'm sure I mouthed off. But then the documentary came out a week later, and then I saw the video of it. And then I issued an apology to her. I just wanted her to know that I felt bad because I couldn't even listen to her music after it aired. I was so depressed, and I was like, because I hurt someone I love. It wasn't about, like, people are mad at me. It was like, she saw that for sure. And that had to have felt kind of bad. It couldn't feel good.
No.
And I was depressed for a few days, and I tried to go through my agents to send her a letter, and they were like, yeah, we'll get it to her. And I'm like, yeah, right. They're not.
You're not going to get, no.
So I just decided to put on my Instagram, like, just a caption being like, hey, this is what it was, and I'm really ashamed. But then as soon as I sent it, I, like, felt so much better.
Yes.
It kind of showed me, taught me the power of apologizing.
Oh, it's so valuable.
Yeah. And she commented on my post and forgave me. She, like, never writes on people's posts except, like, one or two words.
Yeah.
And she wrote a whole sentence or two. I only read it once because I was like, it's too much. I can't take it.
Oh, you were overwhelmed. Oh, do you remember what she said?
It was something like, oh my God, exclamation point, like tons of exclamation points being like, thank you so much for this. I'm so sorry you struggled with an eating disorder too. It was like, this is such an example of like how we can make mistakes and be, it was, she just forgave me and was so encouraging and so sweet and lots of like emojis and stuff. And
it
made me feel so great. I didn't need that though, you know, like.
No, you just wanted to, you wanted to do the right thing.
Yeah, but it meant the world to me, obviously, that she acknowledged my existence. But I was just glad that she had seen it. Like,
yeah.
that she knew that I had felt bad about it. But yeah, that's how I feel about her. I really feel like she's like a best friend. And I know that a lot of people have talked about this with the whole parasocial relationships and how, you know, you don't know her. And I'm very well aware of that. But I, you know, she was at the VMAs the other night and I was watching with my boyfriend and she like won an award and it's just a VMA. I mean, like VMA awards, they're just like made up, you know, like it's like best kiss on a R&B album or whatever, you know, like these are the categories. It's like, does it mean anything? They're probably bought by, you know, people, but she won and I started crying and I never, I'm not a crier. Like, but I cry when my friends win things.
Right.
And that just proved to me, like, I do feel like I know her, as crazy as that sounds. Because I feel like I do.
It doesn't sound crazy. And I've had that same experience when you're talking about someone winning something where it's not so much as, I mean, in your case, it was like, oh, I feel like my friend is winning. But also the art that they've produced has touched you in such a way. Like that's when I've cried. When oh my God. Like when Julia Louis-Dreyfus won for Veep, I was like, oh, well, I mean, I like idolized her. But it was just like tears.
Oh my God. I have watched that acceptance so many times where Gary comes up and holds her purse for her during it.
Oh, it's just fantastic.
It's one of the greatest moments at an award show ever.
Well, she's just so a genius. Oh. And it's so, but that kind of thing where it resonates with you in such a way. And that's what I wanted to know. So do you like, are you in touch with
no.
her? Okay, so it is
no,
a love.
She is not.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
She's got to be aware of me because I'm very loud. And like I was in the New York Times piece about her.
I know you were. I read that.
I was front row at like, I think 5 of her Eras Tour shows. I've been to 9 of them, but I've been like front row for 5 of them. I know she's aware of me, but she doesn't need to acknowledge me.
No, I get it.
There's been
I get
like
it.
Chances maybe where it's like, you could maybe meet her. And I've said no.
Yeah.
Because she'll have to like calm me down and I'll start crying and shaking and she'll have to like comfort me. And I'm like, I just don't want to bother her with that
stuff. I understand.
Like, she's got enough to worry about that. I don't need her being like, it's okay, and like holding my shoulders as I'm like, you know?
Yep,
like,
yep.
Just,
yep.
No, she doesn't need that in her life.
Nikki, we've had a bunch of people come on and talk about what they love, and their loves are always like, I love pizza, or you don't understand, I'm super into this hobby of mine. Your love for Taylor Swift is like a marriage. It's like a roller coaster that I was not expecting this.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My check engine light's on.
That could hurt your gas mileage. The AutoZone free fix finder service can help find the fix for free.
Get in zone.
This whole report for free?
That's right. Printed and on your phone for free.
Get in zone.
But what if the fix is too tough?
We'll recommend a local shop. Fix finder, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone. AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
This Eras tour, which I didn't attend any of them. Scott also didn't. Not out of protest by any means. We just didn't go. But it
would be hilarious.
What if we did? We were like staunch anti-Taylor. But it flooded all of our feeds. It was, to me, the images, the words, the videos that came out of that place were so joyful. I was like, I had two questions. One was, how has she been able to make there was nothing rescheduled, right? She made every single concert.
Every single show. And I think there's only been one show in her whole life that she had to cancel because of something that getting sick or something.
Yeah.
She's superhuman. She's super dedicated. She follows through. She's someone that my niece Poppy, who's 4, she's already a Swiftie, but I think she's just a good example for young girls. And that's what I was always craving as, I think, a high school student, where I felt like I didn't know myself. I didn't have an identity. I really kind of had a lot of shame about who I was and the things I thought and what I looked like and what I didn't look like. And I think Taylor Swift, I really wish she would have been around for me in high school. I feel like she just offered an emotional depth and authenticity that I've been looking for my whole life. And when I found it at the age of 33 or whatever it was, it came a little too late for me, but it still repaired some damage that I had done to myself. She just has taught me to feel. I think I grew up in a household, even though I have great parents, that just didn't let me be emotional.
Yeah.
They weren't comfortable with my feelings because they just wanted me to be happy all the time. And so I wasn't really allowed to be sad or pity myself or have longing for this boy who didn't like me.
Right.
But Taylor Swift gives me permission to
grieve
a guy who is a piece of shit. Who cares? Get over him. He sucks. Not just have that opinion about it. No, you can be really sad for this fantasy you had of something that never happened. And that's okay. And I think that's why she resonates so much with me, is that there's an authenticity that I try to bring to my stand-up that I feel like she brings to her songs. I recently read this Sinead O'Connor book after her passing. I read her autobiography. And she goes, you're probably reading this to learn about me. But she said, anything you want to know about me, it's in the songs. Everything is there. And I was that's what Taylor does. Taylor doesn't have to talk to us. Taylor doesn't have to put out a book. Taylor doesn't have to go on podcasts or Jimmy Fallon. Everything we can know about her is in her songs. And they're like diary entries, man. It's all there.
Well, Nikki, I have to ask you a question that's been burning in my soul for all summer, actually, because I think part of her huge likability is because she is so relatable. Like you say, mm-hmm. she talks about these things in her songs. That's her whole thing. I said to Scott once, I said, she's not cool. I didn't mean she wasn't cool. She's the coolest person on the planet. But her persona is that she's not cool.
She's not cool.
Right.
She sings about it. She's talked about it. She was not cool in high school.
Did she go to high school?
She went to high school and she started writing songs when she was 13, but she started making a name for herself, I think, around 15, 16. So she has written many songs about feeling like she wasn't enough in school and having the cool girls ostracize her. And she told this one story about like where she asked all of her friends to go to the mall one day and she called each of them. They all said they were busy. And then her mom was like, you know what? I'll go to the mall with you. And they went to the mall and then all of her friends were at the mall without her.
That hurts.
That kind of thing. Like, so she...
Yeah.
She was an outsider and she's a little awkward. She reminds me of myself. She's worked hard.
Yeah.
Nothing has come easy. She wasn't just like born with this innate talent.
Oh, is that right?
I believe that everyone that is extremely talented in that way has worked mostly for it.
Right.
Like, oh, I think that you start with a little bit, but you can work hard enough to get to where people are who are just like born with it. You really can. And I think that Taylor Swift is someone who has really worked hard and worked her way to this place and has done it by being, like, she seems like a pretty nice person.
She seems pretty nice. But my thing with Taylor Swift is I'm like, she is such a global phenomenon. How can that be authentically her? Like, you feel like, mm-hmm. like you have described, as though you know her quite well. And so yes. I have to think to myself, well, is that real or is a trick being played on me? It seems to be real.
Well, I think it's a mixture of both. I mean, she's admitted that she wants to be liked. So she's self-aware enough. I like that she's starting to admit, like, I'm putting on a little bit of a thing, a good girl image, and she's had to do that to get where she is. You know, as we know from being in the spotlight, you gotta put it on a little bit.
Yeah.
You gotta play a game. You gotta turn it up. And I do think, though, that she is a nice person and she is a good person, but I think that there is this desire to be liked and that she's struggling with that. And every album, she kind of like drops some of it. And this past album, she got really self-aware and talked about having depression. And the fact that Taylor Swift gets depressed makes me feel a lot less bad about when I get depressed.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that it's never going to maybe be enough. And that maybe Taylor and I are both kind of grappling with that in our careers.
Well, I think that is, again, you've just sort of zoomed in on what makes her so hugely, I guess, popular, is that you see yourself in her. She is the mirror ball. And so you see yourself reflected in her. And
yes.
That's a very powerful, the fact that you feel that way, I feel that way,
yeah.
But so does like your 4-year-old niece, you know? So it's like the span of it is huge.
Yes.
That 4-year-old, the niece thing is what I find so very impressive because yeah. Especially given how adult some of these themes are, the fact that like my sister went to the Eras Tour and she said that the thing that stuck with her apart from the performance and the staging and all that kind of stuff itself was that there were like some 7-year-old girls in front of her that were just like screaming in ecstasy the entire time, just like shaking the way that you described how you would feel if you
yes.
met her. These young girls were appealing during the tour, and it's like, wow. So she's connecting with Nikki Glaser and with Ellie Kemper and with, you know, hundreds of millions of people around the world, including these young girls. Why do you think it is that she appeals to these girls?
I think that's the musicianship. I think that's her songwriting ability. Like, you can't deny that these are bops, that these are catchy, that she is a great songwriter. And now it's pretty solidified that she's one of the best songwriters of all time. I would argue the best and most prolific because she has like thousands of songs at this point. She can't stop putting out albums.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's
she's on her
crazy
11th album coming up. And that's not even to include the re-releases, which have included, you know, 7 more tracks per each re-release. So I just know that I love her music, but I've always felt like, oh, maybe I don't have that good of taste because people have made fun of me for liking Dave Matthews Band or liking Matchbox 20 or Counting Crows.
I am with you, Nikki. That's my arsenal.
And it's like, maybe I'm suck at music. But I'm good. I know what I'm talking about. She's f***ing great. And do you know, it felt so good when I have been a Swiftie for years and years and for much a shorter time than most people who have been Swifties. But now there are people that have just jumped in this year. But it's so nice to have been kind of made fun of a little bit, especially by my friends and family for how obsessed I've been with her for so long as a woman in my late 30s. And then to see the global phenomenon she's become recently, I'm kind of like, oh, was I right?
Was I on to something?
It looks like I was right.
Yeah.
Because she's the greatest selling artist of all time. And she is the most listened to artist on Spotify, aside from Drake, I think. I think there was this whole backlash at first because this was talked about a couple years ago, so this isn't my own original thought, but I think that people dismiss anything that young girls like as inherently stupid, vapid, and like they're just hormonal and they're shrieking Beatlemania. They don't really have taste. They just like it because it's shiny and cool and hip. And that's kind of what she was dismissed as just like this like kind of teeny bop icon that is a flash in the pan. And now she's respected in indie circles, rock. Like, this isn't just me being sycophantic because I'm a little hormonal teen.
No.
Like, I think that's what they still associate it as, because I do have her posters up and I have all her t-shirts and the merch and, you know, the friendship bracelets. It just seems like,
but that's
stupid because it's girly.
No, but that's part of the culture of following. Right, exactly. It is fun.
It's so fun.
Oh, I get it.
I mean, I really enjoy being this crazy.
Well, that's another thing.
I love it. It feels good to like something so much. Like, I've never cared about sports in the way that I see my friends care about sports. I like getting obsessed about things. And, like, I am so grateful I'm a Swiftie, because if you like other music, like, people aren't putting out albums at the rate that she's putting them out. And I get to be a part of a community of people who just, I don't know, it's like a shorthand we have with each other. It gives me identity. And I've always been looking for that. I found it as a comedian for many years of my life that was like, oh, great, I finally found my passion and my people. And I think in my 30s, I started feeling like the energy surge I used to get from performing and going on stage has kind of dissipated. Like, what else can I sink my obsession into? And then Taylor Swift came along and I was like, oh, that's my thing. And then I started playing guitar and singing like during COVID because I was like, I got nothing to do. So now that's like my new pursuit, because I think I always really wanted to be a singer-songwriter. In fact, I know I did, because that's what I used to say I wanted to be when I was little. And I just like, I got some bad feedback in high school about like, this isn't your thing. You're not going to make it.
What?
You don't have the talent. Yeah, it sucked. Taylor Swift is kind of what I always wanted to be. And
right.
So I love her for that too. It's like,
oh, well,
yeah.
This is a new, not revelation, but adds new, you know, color to our portrait, which is that of course then you're going to admire. And I don't want to say idolize.
Idolize.
Okay,
oh,
I'll
absolutely.
Say idolize. Yeah.
Yes. My boyfriend would say that.
Well, yeah. Well, there we go.
What was it like being in the front row for, did you say five of them? Like, what,
yeah.
Like, what is that? Because it seems like I struggle to imagine that sensation.
It was the best. It was so awesome. I spent so much money, and I don't really spend a lot of money on things. Like, I just have like a low-key life. I spent so much f***ing money on these tickets. You know, like, you've heard the rumors of like how much they are. Like, I think I spent $13,000 on two tickets. But I was like, it's...
You took your mom, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
I took my
well,
mom.
That's lovely.
It was the greatest, because she's always kind of been like, oh, Nicki and her Taylor Swift thing, because I lived with my parents during COVID, mm-hmm. and that's when it really grew, mm-hmm. because of those release of those two albums. It just like, I was really obsessed during the time, and there was nothing else for me to focus on.
Of course not.
I was very into Taylor.
Yeah.
And so I think they've always kind of rolled their eyes.
So your mom, my sense is that she understands now where you're coming from. What
yeah.
was her, what
so
what happened?
Funny.
Tell me what happened.
She goes, oh my God, she is so cute. She goes, Nicki, everyone in here, everyone in this stadium is in love with her. Everyone. And I get it. And we, like, it finally, like, sunk into her, like,
yeah.
my obsession and how
yeah.
cute she is
yeah.
and how talented. I almost started getting jealous because I'm like, my mom has never, like, you know, been in awe of my talent in those ways. Like, my mom will never be like, that was amazing. Not never. She does compliment me on, like, what I do. But she'll just, the thing that she really loves about what I do is that they love you. People just love you.
That's so funny.
Like, she's so into, she goes, I can't believe all of the, look at all these people. They love you. And I go, you can't believe all these people love me? And she's like, I can't believe it. It's ridiculous.
Taylor Swift, I understand, but not you.
Yes, exactly. I was like, kind of ease it down, Mom, on Taylor's talent, because I don't hear you hop off about my talent
right.
that much. It's usually just about like, I can't believe all these people love you. But she got it.
I have a question for you about your mom.
Yeah.
What is, and maybe you don't have to pick one, but what is a favorite Taylor Swift song of yours? And what is a favorite of your mom's?
There's a song called The Best Day that is not usually a fan favorite, or maybe it is, I'm not really sure, but it's off of Fearless, I believe, her second album. And it's about her mom. And it's about how her mom was always there for her during all these sad times in life, and that she had the best day with her mom. Like, It's just this emotional song about loving your mom so much.
Oh.
And it's so cute. And she wrote it when she was like 17. Oh. And it's just the f***ing cutest song. And then there's a song that my mom really loved that the day my mom and I went to go see her in Houston, we went to the gravesite of a friend that I've always wanted to visit there. We're walking around this beautiful cemetery. And I was like, I want to play this song for you about her, like how much she loves her mom. Because I'm like, and my mom and I don't really like share our feelings that often. But sure. I just was like, I think you'll like this song. And I played it. And we were both like, like sobbing.
Oh my gosh, Nikki, that's
beautiful. And then we were hugging each other like, I love you so much. Like in this almost like mausoleum type structure because it was raining at the time. We were alone in the cemetery. And then I played the song Marjorie, which is about Taylor Swift's grandmother and how much she misses her grandmother and how she's still with her. And then there's a part in the song where her grandmother's voice like sings because her grandmother was a singer too. And
oh,
then
wow.
We're sobbing about that because we're remembering my grandmother. And so those two songs were like really special to us.
That's so sweet.
I think of her, you know, her coming out on her second album and she's like, I'm going to write a song about how much I love my mommy. Like, that's kind of a bold right. move for a girl who's trying to be like cool and like in the music industry. Like, she didn't give a f-. She's like, I love my mom and I'm going to write a song about how much I love mama. And it was just, it's so sweet and wholesome. And I think that's why those two stand out to me. They're just very deeply emotional.
That is a beautiful Shakespearean, dare I say, Swiftian.
Yes, you say Swiftian.
A moment to potentially end this part of the interview on Ellie. I mean, what do you think?
I agree with you. I think what a lovely note to end the Taylor Swift love fest on, because I've always known I like Taylor. I haven't shared the intense love that you have, but you make me want to go rewatch the document. Not for you in it, but
you have so much to like get into. I'm excited for you.
I have so much to get into.
You want me to play a song in a cemetery for my mom? That's what I'm inspired to do based on this conversation.
Go do it. Yeah. It was one of the scariest things I've ever done emotionally, but it paid off. And my mom and I will never talk about it again, but we definitely sobbed and held each other in a cemetery in the middle of the afternoon in Houston while it was raining outside. And we're both like so embarrassed of it now, but like, you know, those moments that just like, it gets to you and then you're like,
we'll never.
And then I'm calling an Uber
again.
Like, okay, I think he's over here. We got to walk a couple blocks. Like, what? Like, we'll never talk about it again.
No.
Like, I come from like a, you know, kind of Catholic. We don't talk about our feelings, family.
Yeah, we're all, Scott's from Minnesota. We're all Midwestern stock here. We get it. You feel a certain way, but you don't necessarily talk about it.
Totally.
Nikki, thank you for talking about your feelings with us. And if you have time, we would love if you could stick around for a game we play called Love It or Loathe It. Okay, we'll play that when we come back.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Guys, we're back. We're here with Nikki Glaser. We are going to play a little game called Love It or Loathe It. Nikki, you've listened to the show. This is a game where we are going to give you a number of items. You say whether you love that item or you loathe that item. There can be no in between, okay? You have to either love it or loathe it. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Nikki, we've mentioned you grew up in St. Louis. You live in St. Louis. I also am from St. Louis. Love it or loathe it?
Emo's Pizza.
It's not. That was nixed from our list. But now that you mention it, let's just get into it. Love it or loathe it, Emo's Pizza.
Well, I'm a vegan, so I have to loathe it. But if I wasn't, I'd love it.
Yeah.
Worked there in high school.
You worked there?
Yeah, the one in Webster.
Were you a vegan then?
Oh, no. And yeah. I ate so much. Yeah. And my mom once asked me if I was training for football season because I ballooned up.
Wait, so Emo's, is that the pizza that's like on a cracker or something?
Yep. Cracker crust, the square beyond compare. Yep.
It's a made up cheese, right? It's like an invented
cheese. It's provolone and like mozzarella combined.
Provel. Love it or loathe it. Also, field hockey, Nikki.
Love it. I played in high school. I wasn't good, but it was so fun.
I'm with you.
I miss it. Did you play?
I played. I wish that there were an adult league. There's no adult leagues. Or maybe really? There are. Are there?
There have to be. Look into it. No one wants me to play, but I loved it so much just because of, I just loved being on a team and wearing a cute skirt.
Same.
And it was so fun, but I was so not good. I had really bad shin splints. They called me Grandma Jennifer because I straightened my hair like Jennifer Aniston with an iron, a literal iron. And I also had a limp because of shin splints. So I was nicknamed Grandma Jennifer on the team. I was just happy that Jennifer was in there.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, you still have fond memories of the sport. That says a lot.
Oh my God, yes.
Okay, Scott.
Speaking of Taylor Swift, love it or loathe it, Nikki. Olivia Rodrigo.
Love it. Oh. Love her. She's like Taylor Swift to me, like just a girl who's like finding her way and being herself and like has a powerful voice and is such a good songwriter. And I don't know what's going on between them. I think it's fine, but I don't care. Like I can still, even if there was beef between them, I could still love two people that might not get along, but I don't think anything's going on between them, but I absolutely love her. And yeah, she's someone that I could definitely Swift out on. Like I'm going to go to her tour. I'm learning her songs on guitar. Like I just went to a voice lesson where I'm learning how to sing Vampire because it's such a hard song to sing. And so I'm obsessed. I love her.
I only recently discovered her. And it's only because, did she just release a new album? Why was I reading about her?
Yes.
So
new album.
She's fantastic. And
she's
so good. I love it.
And she's so young.
She's 4 years old. She is so good. Right?
She's not born yet. It's crazy that anyone can have an opinion about a 19-year-old. Like how anyone is like, this album's not that good. It's like, she's 19. Shut the up.
I know.
Like, let her like be.
Yeah.
Let her make mistakes. You know, I just hope she can not let all the criticism in that she gets, even though it's mostly everyone loves her.
Right.
But it's tough to be a young little starlet, but she's fantastic.
She's fantastic. I love her music. Like instantly I did. Okay. We're on the same page. Okay. As a Starbucks lover, Nikki, do you love or loathe the pumpkin spice latte?
Love. I mean, I'm not going to jump on the, like, if you like it, I don't actually like it myself. I don't think I've even ever had it. It just doesn't interest me, but I don't mind the smell of it. I don't mind the celebration of it. I don't mind the basic nature of it. It gets people in the season.
Yeah.
You know, there's not much to be excited about anymore in life.
No.
The world's kind of ending.
Yeah, it's
World War III, we're on the brink of it. Yeah. Like, things aren't looking good. If a seasonal beverage lights you up inside, so be it.
Yeah.
Like, lean into it.
Yeah.
Again, white girls need an identity.
I know.
And that pumpkin spice gives us one. We don't have culture as white people.
No,
we're desperate for it.
And so that's such a great assessment because it's spot on. And I'll take it too. Yeah. It's sweet. It's delicious. It's festive. We'll take it.
Sure.
Okay. A lot of enthusiasm behind that recommendation, Ellie. Yeah, it's festive. Moving on. Love it or loathe it, the beach.
Loathe it because it's the sand is just dirt.
Oh.
It's just hard dirt. It's gross and it gets everywhere. Also, currents, I don't trust those. I'm very scared of undertow, even though I know you're supposed to swim parallel to the shore. I can't trust myself to remember that in the moment that I'm being pulled out to sea.
Yep.
I wouldn't mind being bitten by a shark. I'm scared of being killed by a shark.
You would not mind being bitten by a shark?
No, if I could. Because I think it'd be a cool scar to have, even if it took my whole arm. I think it would just be a cool story. I'd be sad I couldn't play guitar or something, but I'm not scared of sharks. I love them. I feel like we should leave them alone. But the ocean is like, I don't really care for it. It's too vast and scary. And when people are like, let's go to the beach, I'm just like, and do what?
Oh.
Like squint as you try to read a book that's yeah. too bright for you to read.
Yeah.
Or like it's too windy. You can't trust the waves are constantly, you have to move your blanket and they're getting, everything's wet and you leave yep. and it's dirty. Loathe it.
Yep.
Pass. So you're okay with shark bites. Less cool yeah. with just like moving your towel. Yes.
And the ocean isn't technically the beach. The ocean where the shark is not the beach. So you do yeah, definitely loathe the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I've agreed with you on, I think, all of these. I mean, not that it matters. It just happens to line up.
No, that means something to me.
Well, thank you. Okay, this is our last one. Nikki, love okay. it or loathe it, naps.
Love it. I think that's why I don't want kids. Is my love of naps.
Yes.
And I know people are like, kids nap, don't worry. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if they're going to line up with my depression naps. I love napping so much. And the thing that gets me most depressed in life is if I see my schedule and I don't see places for naps yep. or like adequate sleep, I start to really panic
yep.
and fall into like a deep funk. So I think naps are nothing to be ashamed of. Lean into them. And I know people are like, I wake up feeling groggy. It's like, then you deserved it. Then you should keep going, right, probably.
Right.
You're sleep deprived. This has been said a million times, but our culture is so
oh, I know.
Proud of themselves for not getting sleep.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because it ages you. It's going to make you die sooner. It's bad for your cognitive. It's bad for everything.
Everything so is bad. Oh, I don't get
those
it.
Naps.
Get the, for me, it is like a 20-minute nap. Which yeah. is beyond restorative, and I feel smarter when
so
I wake up.
Good, yes.
And I'm here to, with you, promote the idea of napping as a healthy lifestyle choice because yes, it's extremely
I think so.
Healthy.
It is.
Nikki, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you guys so much.
It has been such a pleasure. Before we go, is there anything, any projects that you would like to mention?
I'm on tour right now until the end of my life, but this tour is actually really, it's a good one. I'm just doing material that I've like, you know, it's kind of like my Eras tour.
Yes.
I'm just doing material that I just feel it encapsulates like my whole career and my whole life as a stand-up comedian. I'm saying things I never thought I'd be able to say on stage, talking about things that are just so personal, and I'm able to make them funny in a way that I never thought I could. So I'm on tour right now, and you can find out cities at nikkiglaser.com, and I'd love for people to come see me. And I do meet and greets after the show. If you go alone to my show, because I think that's so brave and not a lot of people do it, and I think a lot of people miss out on entertainment because mm-hmm. they can't find a friend to go with them, and they just feel like, I'm going to be like a loser alone. People are going to think I'm like a creep being alone. But if you go alone to my show and you go to the merch booth after the show and tell them that you went alone, I will give you a free meet and greet, which I have to charge for because it's just too much. But I'll give you a free one if you go alone because I just want to reward you for taking a chance and doing something maybe a little social anxiety inducing.
That is so generous. I mean, that's just a sweet thought.
And if you can't afford a meet and greet and you're with a person, you can just DM me. I'll give you a free one. Like, it's like, I appreciate you going to the show. Like, I'm not going to like be stingy about it. It's,
well,
you know.
That's gracious because I would imagine after a show like that, I'm just going to tell everyone you're probably exhausted. So
you are.
Yeah.
But so it's nice to meet your fans. And so I like making that connection. And it's genuine and it's easy. You just like get to be nice to people.
Well, that's
I don't
true.
Have to like be funny anymore.
That's it.
Like
right.
I get to kind of like relax.
Right.
And so I enjoy meet and greets. So come see me on the road or just come to my meet and greet. Who cares? So maybe that is all you want.
Well, then everybody knows where to go.
Yeah. And then F-Boy Island, October 16th on the CW. You can check that out. Make it part of your reality TV schedule. It's so funny and it's so insane. And if you don't like reality dating shows, I promise you, you'll like this one because we just make fun of it. But you'll also be able to watch it with someone who likes those shows because it also people fall in love and it's like drama and high stakes, but it's also funny too. So check that out.
I personally didn't realize the new season was coming out so soon. So I'm looking forward to that
it's
too.
It's so soon.
Yes. Nikki, congratulations on everything.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. This has been a total delight.
So fun. Thanks for letting me talk about my girl.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to Born to Love. We'll be back next week with brand new things that we love.
We want to hear from you. Leave us a review in Apple Podcasts and tell us what you love. We might even ask one of our guests in an upcoming Love It or Loathe It.
Born to Love is hosted and created by Ellie Kemper and Scott Eckert.
Our executive producer is Aaron Kaufman. Our producers are Sheena Ozaki and Zoe Dankla.
Born to Love is part of Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network in collaboration with iHeart Podcasts. Special thanks to Han Sani,
Rachel Kaplan and Adriana Cassiano,
Michael Fales,
Alex Coral,
and Bahid Frazier.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.